Good morning. Welcome back for our live streamers and for the ones who came back today. So it must have been good enough for you guys to come back. So thank you. Thanks for that.
Yes.
So as a refresher, we're going over Leadership 101 for Christians, right? Christian leaders specifically. And again, as I outlined last week, every single Christian, every single believer is a leader, right? Because you're going to be called upon in situations to lead. And even if that's just leading by your lifestyle, that's what we're going to be called to do. So I gave you guys kind of a homework assignment last week. So hopefully some of you guys did that. I'd be interested to hear just from like two or three people, some things maybe that caught you by surprise or that you learned about yourself when you did this personality test. So who wants to be the first volunteer? No, I've had people come to me offline, tell me what they wanted.
Let me find it real quick.
They told me what they had. So it was really interesting. Well, while we're looking, I'll refresh people of what mine was again. So again, like I said, it's a sliding scale between introverted and extroverted. I lean more towards introvert, 68%, which just means, again, refresh how I get my energy. I energize by being alone, not being around other people. Intuitive or observant. Little close to the middle, but mostly intuitive. Feeling, 70%. Again, judging, 85%. And again, if you guys don't know what these terms mean, please go back and watch last week. And assertive, 79%. And the strategy that it gives me is confident individualism. And for the sake of time, I won't go through all of those again. But yes, we have.
Okay. I wasn't actually super surprised because a few years ago, we did the Enneagram, which I know is different. But a lot of the things that I saw in the Enneagram, I saw in here. I got 78% introverted, and that actually kind of surprised me a little bit, and Josh as well, because growing up, I always thought I was introverted, but then as I've gotten older, I feel like I've become more extroverted. And so I did it, and I got, I think the first time I got 86% introverted, and Josh was like, do it again, and do it thinking not as a mom. That changed a lot of the answers for me, because a lot of the things I do through a mom's eye view. And so I was thinking back to like basically being a single person. Would my answers change? And the answer was yes. A lot of my answers changed. But I was still quite introverted, quite a bit observant, 94% observant, 56% feeling, 86% judging, and 58% turbulent. And my personality is defender, which also kind of goes along with what I said earlier about the Enneagram, which is I'm a 9 on the Enneagram, and we're peacemakers. So anyway, I thought it was really cool. And I looked through all my strengths and weaknesses and agreed with a lot of those. So I don't know if there was anything else you needed us to share about it, but I loved it.
One of the things what I was telling her was, and what you got to think, because you change and grow a lot. Like Pastor and Mrs. Pastor over there aren't going to answer things the same way as they did when they were 25. So that's what the Enneagram kind of tells you, is think back to your root kind of characteristics of how you would answer some things. Like, for example, you know, some of the questions was, would you rather go out or go home? Well, she'd rather go home and just spend time with family, but if there was nobody there, she didn't want to go there and just spend time by herself. So she's not necessarily introverted. She just likes a smaller circle. But, yeah, that's all I was telling her, was, like, you got to think back to not necessarily the season you are in life, but some of your root characteristics of how you want to handle things, what you want to be at. The only thing that kind of surprised me is it said I had the gift of empathy, and I think that might be a typo. I'm not sure I have that. But other than that, it pretty well lined up. I'm right in the middle. I'm a little more introverted than I am extroverted, which makes sense. I've always considered myself what you call an ambivert, which is right dead smack in the middle. I'm fine with being alone. I'm fine with being around people. So I didn't have a lot that shocked me. Like I said, we've taken some things like this, but like I said, other than empathy.
Awesome. I like that, and the reason why I asked is because you guys to do it is because it kind of gives you a idea of who you are, right? Sometimes you already know, but it's good to kind of like put it in words and see other areas and avenues that you might not have thought of, like, oh, that's the reason why I like doing those things, right? And again, like I said last week, the goal is not to see, okay, yep, this is exactly who I am, so I'm never going to change, and you guys got to deal with it. That is the wrong way to go about this, and that tends to be kind of our attitude, just human nature, right? This is who I am. This is how I'm always going to be. If you don't like it, you know where the door is, right? And unfortunately, or fortunately, right, depending on how you look at it, God calls us to be his slaves. He says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to do what I say. Now, he gives us those personalities. He gives us those leans to help us do the mission that he's called us to do. It's not for our own selves. It's for him and it's his benefit. So while I may be introverted and while I may like to do things on my own for my personality, it still comes back to the fact that it has to be subject to God. And if we remember that as leaders, it becomes easier to deal with others as well, because then you get to see how your personality clashes with their personality, and you can kind of find ways around to get to the point where we need to get to, right, as leaders. So I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I did want to rehash that because we talked about that last week. So, next slide. I don't know if it's up there. We are going to go into the 10 leadership principles for Christians. So before we jump into the next slide, I'm just going to read out what they are. So you guys keep coming back every week, so you want to hear all of them, but we're only going to talk about the first one today. So there's 10. The first one is going to be keep your eyes on God. 2, check your motivation. 3, walk in integrity. 4, be the type of person people want to follow. 5, be teachable. 6, have a council of people you can lean on. 7, own your mistakes. 8, make other leaders. 9, know your limitations. And our final one is going to be avoid pitfalls. And so we'll get into all those in the upcoming weeks. But today, like I said, we are going to spend time talking about keeping your eyes on God. That slide up there, awesome. I think this is a foundation when you're talking about leadership in general, right? If you're in the business world or whatever company you work for, the first thing they want you to do when you're onboarding is kind of learn about the company itself, right? Learn about the mission, learn about the focus, the vision of what the company is outlined to do. It is similar in the body of Christ, right? Our mission is to keep our eyes and our focus on God. Whatever that entails, everything else is secondary to that. That means your family, that means your job, that means your ministry, whatever that else that is, it comes second to your focus on God. Why do I talk about that? The first bullet point up here says, keep the main thing the main thing. I think it's we tend to, as leaders, as people, start off with all this energy, and we're like, yes, let's do this. God's called me to do this. God's called me to be a husband. God's called me to be a wife. God's called me to be a parent. God's called me to lead this ministry, X, Y, Z, or go into this line of business. And then we're into it, and then we tend to start getting our focus all on that, right? We forget what we're called to do was for God, and we start doing it for ourselves because, you know, maybe we get a little fame, or maybe, you know, we're in a rough spot and we got to work at it to get it out of this point. And so it becomes less about God and becomes more about us. And so what tends to happen, it becomes, you know, a cult of personality. And you see this a lot out in the world. You see this all in churches too. We're not immune to it in the body of Christ, where if this one particular person was not there, then everything falls down. And it shouldn't be that way, right? If we're building the ministry, whatever we're called to do for the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter if I'm there or I'm not. The work will continue going. Think about the transition from Moses to Joshua, right? The work still kept going. It needed to keep going, right? If it was just about Joshua or just about Moses, then the work would have never completed. It would have been over. As soon as Moses died, boop, that's it. You know, we're done. Right? The only person it has to be about in the foundation is the everlasting king, and that is Jesus, because he's never going to die. It's always going to be on him. That is where it has to be our focus. And again, as I said, God has to be the focus of your ministry and leadership. If you jump to Matthew 22, it talks about Peter walking on the water. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to summarize this story, but, you know, hey, Jesus told them to go ahead. I got other stuff to do. So they got on the boat, and they went in the middle of the ocean, or the sea, wherever they were, and then all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking on the water in the middle of the night, and they were scared, disciples were like, okay, what is going on? Is that a ghost? What is happening, right? So I'll let you know that people believed in ghosts back in those days too. So if you believe in ghosts, you're in good company, right? Everybody else believed in them too. So he's like, oh my God, what is happening? There's a ghost. And then Jesus was like, nope, don't be afraid. And so Peter, being the bold man that he was, like, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out and walk on water too. So he said, come on. I love Jesus' reaction, right? He didn't hesitate. Yep, it's me, come on. And so he did. He stepped out there and started walking on water. And again, I've said this story a few times, and I said this. I don't know of any other person in history that has successfully walked on water besides Jesus and Peter. Maybe you have. Maybe you've seen this. You walked around and you read something on the internet. You saw another person do it. I've never seen it. So we know he is one of two people that's ever existed that's walked on water. It's not a small feat, right? We tend to gloss over that sometimes. We say, oh, Peter was a big failure because he sank. Well, it's not what happened. He walked on water first. Yeah. Right? We got to give them credit where credit is due, right? And I think we tend to gloss over our beginnings, right? When we start out doing the ministry for Christ, we're focused. We're ready. God, you called me to do this. I'm going to do it. And we're there. And we tend to kind of muddle the waters, and we forget, and we get to the point where we've messed up, and that becomes our entire story. Well, that's not the entire story. The story is that he was the one who did it. He believed. He walked out on water in faith because he trusted Jesus. And while he was trusting Jesus, we know the story. As he was looking at Jesus, it became clear he can walk. But what happened? The same thing that happens to all of us. We start to look around and start seeing what's happening. It's not going the way I thought it was going to go. Oh, there's winds and there's waves, right? And to bring it practically to our today, how we see it. Oh, no, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Like, it's not working out the way I thought it was. The finances are drying up. Well, you know, my husband and wife's not acting like I thought it was. The kids are getting on my nerve. All the stuff that comes in, and it takes our eyes and our focus off of God. Well, there's not enough people coming to my ministry like I thought it was. God, you said you're going to send people, and here we are still stuck at 50 people at this church, right? All the kind of stuff that you start looking at besides what God says, what did I tell you to do, right? And when you start doing that, you start to succumb. You start to sink. I like this because this is a practical application to what it looks like when you take your eyes off God. This is very physical. You can see this. It's tactical. You can touch it. He's sinking. He's physically going down because he has taken his eyes off God, right? And that is the point. When we're keeping our focus on God, he sustains us no matter what's going on around us. You don't have to worry about what's going on around you because, God, I know you told me to do this. So just like you told me to do this, you can tell me to stop doing it. But as long as I'm here and I'm supposed to do this, I'm going to keep doing it. And as a leader, that is what we're called to do, keep our focus on God. Again, the practical. Now, if you look at the spiritual side of this, then you go over to Matthew. And I love this, and I'm going to actually read this. So let me go to it real quick. Matthew chapter 7. And this is Jesus talking. He was talking about a lot of different things. He was giving he was talking about a lot of different things. And he's talking about false prophets. And this talking about true and false disciples. So I'll start with verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So you have to continue doing his will. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. So that is a spiritual example of what it looks like when you take your eyes off God. Because understand, we're not just living in the physical realm, right? Practical is good to see that. When you see the turbulence going around you, you start to feel like you're drowning. But also spiritually, when you take your eyes off God, it becomes even more detrimental, right? Drowning in the natural sense is not as bad as when you're physically and spiritually separated from God for all eternity. And that's what God is saying here. Like, when I give you a job, when I give you a mission, whatever that mission is, right? And some of you guys say, well, I don't do anything, JT. Well, if you're working, that is your mission right now. That's where you're called to be a leader in your job. If you're at home, that's what you're called to be a leader in your family. Whatever that looks like, right? And all of us have influence, especially as believers. We have influence over the people around us. And so it's important that when we're doing our mission, we're doing what God has called us to do, that we're keeping our focus on him and not become about us. It is real easy, especially if you can become successful, to start thinking, oh, maybe I am that good. You know, you start feeling yourself a little bit like, man, you know, everything I touch turns to gold. I mean, look at this. Like, I got to be good because people keep coming to me asking me to come talking places, right? I got to be good because people keep coming and hiring me to be their boss, right? So you got to look at it, and it becomes, and think about it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy too, because God gives us the talents that we have. Everything we have, he's given us. And he wants us to use them, and he wants us to benefit from them, but it has to be for his glory. I'll give a really good example of this, right? If you can sing, if you have the talent where you can sing, you can go off and make a lot of money and be very successful and has nothing to do with God. There's a lot of people like that right now. But it doesn't mean God didn't give them that talent. It just means they're decided to use it for themselves. And they're going to be very wildly successful, right? And you see this all the time. You know, you got your Beyoncés and, you know, Taylor Swift's out there that are killing it and making all this money because people like seeing that. Not knocking them at all. So when people live stream, don't say I'm talking bad about them. I'm not, right? Don't come after me. Don't come after me, right? My example, the reason why I'm using that example is because we get that talent, and if we start looking at it as about me, then it's easy to kind of veer off to the left or veer off to the right. And you see this, and you see this a lot, even in the church, right? You see these people that start off in, you know, humble beginnings, and next thing you know, they're wildly successful. Doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. Success is a great thing. God wants us to be successful. I want to make that very clear. We don't serve a God of poverty. We serve the God who owns everything. Right? So, but at the same time, we have to make sure our focus is on him, because if it's not, it's easy to fall into the trap of, I'm doing this on my own, or I am so good. And what happens is that you start looking to yourself. And then when you know, and here's the truth, we all know that we're failures in some areas. Right? We can't do certain things. We know this. Even the smartest person in the world, you can talk to them. If they're honest with you, they'll tell you, there's some areas I just don't know. And so what we do is we overcompensate in those areas where we can. And so we hide those areas that where we can. And then that way we're infallible. I love what we were talking about yesterday at the men's meeting. If we put on when we talk about being fathers, if you put on this air as I'm perfect to your children, then as soon as you fail, your children will be like, wow, I can't believe anything this person says. But if you're real with them and let them know, hey, I have shortcomings too, then they're able to see you and understand. And then when you do fail, it doesn't become a monumental problem, right? Because that will happen, right? That's just the way it is. We have to be real with ourselves and be real with others. And it comes, that reality falls when you're looking at the cross, when you're looking at the mirror of God and his word. It's easy to see yourself as, okay, I got my focus where it needs to be, God. Where do you want me to go next? I love this because when I was reading this week in my devotions, one of the things that came up was Josiah. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this story, but Josiah took over as the king of Israel when he was 8 years old. Man was eight. Like, I have a 9-year-old at home, and this dude just learned how to cook stuff in a microwave. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not knocking him at all. My son is brilliant. But I can't imagine this guy being king over millions of people at this age. Right? And here this guy is 8 years old when he took over being king. Now, let's be honest, he had advisors and people around him. But still, if he had to say what he wanted to do, then they had to listen. Like my 9-year-old right now, if he was king, he'd be like, I'm playing video games all day. I want to eat nothing but popcorn. Right? That this will be his decrees. And we'd be like, all right, yes, sir. You know, what can you say? Like, he's the king. Right? And so we have to understand, like, this is Josiah, king at 8 years old. The story goes on that when he's about 26, he sees a book that's in his royal library, and the book ends up being the first 5 books of the Torah, right? And he starts reading it, and he realizes, wow, we have strayed so far away from the God's law. And so immediately he was like, we got to get this right. And I love how the Bible says it, that there was no other king like him before or after that had the zeal for God like he did. Immediately he was like, all right, what have we got going on here? All the different provinces that he was in charge of, he's like, tear down all the different statues and all this stuff for other gods. We're gonna go back to God, build the temple up the way it's supposed to be, kick everybody out that's not supposed to be it. All the priests that were doing that were worshiping other gods and sacrificing other gods, slaughter them. They're not gonna be around anymore. We don't need them around. I mean, he literally changed everything. He came back to God because he's like, God, we have strayed so far away from you. Let's get this back on track. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, as a leader, we may stray. We may fall into that trap where we stray. when we realize it, we have to be just as forceful as Josiah was and say, you know what, God, I'm getting rid of everything. Everything that took me away from you. And sometimes that completely blows things up. You got to get rid of people. You got to change your where you were. You know, hey, I can't go to these different places I was going to. I can't do the same things I was doing. I can't be around the same people I was. You got to blow everything up. And as a leader, we have to understand, hey, God, I'm following you first and foremost, and our eyes have to be on him. So what does this look like practically? Practically, it looks like what Josiah did. I'm going to tear some stuff down, right? I'm going to kick some people out, right? And those are things that are uncomfortable for us sometimes. We don't want to offend people. I mean, let's be honest. We want people to like us. Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, you shouldn't go walk around, you know, smelly and not taking showers because you're like, I don't care what people think about me, right? That's not how we do things, right? There's a thing called, you know, social responsibility. In my mind, a social responsibility is taking care of yourself, right? Taking showers, brushing your teeth, you know, small stuff, right? If you have that ability. Now, there's some people who don't have that ability, right? So whatever it looks like in your society. But in Western culture, brush your teeth, right? Take a shower. Right? Those are social responsibilities. Those things we're asked to do. And so I'm not saying you got to go be weird and like, oh, I'm going to buck everything and I'm going to do what I want to do and, you know, run out to the field and eat locusts and honey all day. That's what I'm going to do, right? No, that's not what I'm asking. But at the same time, it's whatever God calls you to do. And if, it is very hard if you've been at a ministry that you've been called to do and you're wildly successful. And then God comes and tells you, you forgot about your first love. You forgot about me. And now you have to say, okay, God, what does that mean? It may mean tearing down that entire ministry because it was built on the wrong foundation. And that's a tough thing to look at, right? How do I do, God, really? Do I have to tear everything down? Well, God will tell you. I'm not here telling you you got to tear everything down. So don't take me and like, oh, man, I got to close my church. JT said I got to close my church. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your focus needs to be on God and do what he tells you to do, not what man tells you to do and not what you think is going to be get you the most success. Our focus has to be on what God says and God says alone. And you look at it in these two examples, the practical way with Peter and the spiritual way with the church. Cannot forget about your first love. We're all called to do certain things. Right now, I mean, before I was called to be in the military, I did that, loved it. Right now, I'm called to be a consultant. I enjoy that, and I'm also called to be in this church and minister that way. And then, of course, my first and priority is my family. You know, I'm called to be a husband. I'm called to be a father. These are things I'm called to do, but what it looks like when I take my eyes off God, everything starts to go by the wayside. Everything starts to fail. And I'm like, God, what's going on? Well, you forgot about me as a leader, right? That is our job. The reason why I'm hammering this home, and this is why this is the first and foremost thing I'm talking about as far as characteristics of leader, because you have to get this down first. You can't go to the rest if you're not focused on God. Remember last week I talked about Jesus and the two things that he did when he was on this earth. He said, I do the things that God told me to do, my Father, and I do it for the benefit of others. Those two things make you an exceptional leader. But the only way you get there is this first point right here, is keeping your eyes on God. You can't hope to know what God's called you to do if you're not even looking at him, if you're not focused on him. And this is a reminder. We have to remind ourselves daily of this, right? This is not a one-time thing. All right, God, I'm focused on you, because what happens is what generally happens. We tend to drift. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, when you first get married, we ask people about to be newlyweds in here, when you first get married, man, your passion, you're like, man, this person is, woo! I remember when I first saw my wife. I was like, good Lord, there is a God. Thank you, Jesus, right? This is what I was thinking. I was like, God, you love me. You've done this for me. I see what you did for others, and you did it for me too, right? That's what I thought. And I was so happy, and the passion and the motivation was all there all the time. But as the time goes, you know, we're coming up on our 12-year anniversary. As the time goes, you start to, you know, forget a little bit. And that's a natural thing. And we have to remind ourselves, I can't get lazy. I can't forget to keep the main thing the main thing. And especially if you've been in ministry for 10, 20, 30, 40 years doing the same thing, your motivation is going to be like this. It's going to be up and down. Some days you're going to feel like it, just like in marriage. Some days you're going to feel like it, woo, this is the best person in the world. Other days you're going to be like, why did I marry you? Right? There's going to be that. right? And the same thing with our ministry, our calling from God. God, I'm here. Man, I feel you. I feel your presence so strongly. I can see you're moving in my life. And the other days, you can be like, God, you've abandoned me again. Here I am sinking. I'm falling. What's going on, God? And the thing about I love about God, he's big enough to handle it. He can take it. He wants you to talk to him about that. Good. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm like, oh, I got your attention again. Thanks. Hi. I've been here. Yeah, you're straying off a little bit. I need you to get back on this road. And that is what we're called to be as leaders. So before I wrap it up, I want to see if there's anybody else who wants to share about what they learned about themselves this week or has a comment about what I've just talked about right now. Yes.
As Sister said, I don't need to take a test to know I have 16 personalities. just kidding, though. So I have a comment, actually, about keeping your eyes on God, and this is stuff that we have been discussing at home, he and I, and then us with the kids as well.
This is my beautiful wife on live stream, by the way, just in case you guys didn't know.
And then it just came up again, but there's two things. One, I just read in Luke, and I've read it a million times, and for some reason this time it clicked a lot more, and it said that a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. And it literally, I went down and like dove into the Greek meanings of those words. And the treasure, it literally means like a treasure trove inside of you. And that you are continually putting good in there, putting good in there, putting good in there. So that good can come out. Like when we were kids and we talked about garbage in, garbage out. It's literally how it is. Well, then he reads scriptures over the kids and it changes every week. So a whole week at nighttime, he'll read a scripture over the kids. And recently we did Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Focus on what is true, what is right, what is lovely, what is just. And we were in the car and the kids said, Mom, did you hear about that man that shot a whole bunch of people at the gun show? And I said, no, I didn't. But it's because I choose not to watch the news, listen to the news, to focus on those things. And I said, remember when Daddy read that scripture over you guys? About focusing on what is true and lovely and just and right. It doesn't mean that there isn't other stuff that we can focus on. It just means don't focus on that. And focusing, it's easy if you are not focusing on God, just like you talked about with Peter, it's really easy to get discouraged if all you're looking at and all you're putting inside of yourself all of the time, all of the time, all of the time is bad. So that's all I wanted to say. I just thought it's coming up a lot more often now, and I think there's a reason for it. It's because everywhere you look, there's garbage and discouragement.
Great point, too, because, again, when you look at the practical version of it, Peter, here it is, just looking at one other person versus the entire world that's around him. The entire world was going crazy in his mind. There's waves, the wind, all this stuff, and you're asking me to look at just you? It's hard, right? And if you think about that in your life, well, God is saying, yes, I need you to focus on me. I know the world seems big to you, but I hold the world in my hand. And that's what God is saying. If you focus on me, the one who holds the world in his hand, I've already conquered this. You don't have to worry about it. But it's tough when you're in the middle of it, right? But that is the foundation of leadership. You have to keep your focus on God. Thank you. Any other comments before we wrap it up? Great. Come back next week, and we're going to get into some more stuff, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you.